First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Politics.com and EdSprings.com, where you can go for all the latest updates on investigations we're doing. If you want to catch the latest podcast show, you can reach us as always at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. If you guys are in the chat room, please hit that number one on your dial pad, and we will get you on air as soon as possible. And while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, don't forget to join our email newsletter list and our RSS feed. We'll make sure you get all the updates we send out when they happen. And if you don't mind while you're there, check out that little donate button. Yes, we can always use your help. That money helps us keep everything alive. The live chat is open. If you want to join us there, you can. And you can sign in using Facebook and Twitter accounts as well as BTR accounts. So there you go. That's all the stuff you need to know. How are you, Mr. Martin?
We're out, Mr. Springsteen.
Oh, my goodness. Still playing that rugby thing?
No. it might be over. I played and played well, but, oh, man, I'm telling you, my neck is just, you know, you don't heal up like you used to. And
yep.
I'm feeling it, and I'm not liking it. So, yeah. As I say,
welcome
I,
to
know,
my
love,
world.
Love the team. I love the guys I play with. I love the game, but not so much that I'm willing to become a cripple for it. So
there you
so
go.
I may actually be at the end of it, you know, far as playing though. Yeah, I'll find some young minds to pollute, teach the black arts and stuff. When the high school starts, it's like, hey, count me in. I'll teach you all the dirty tricks.
There you go. For you guys that don't know, Ed Martin, he plays rugby every year, and he is my age. We're both 50. And, you know, last week, Mr. Martin found out that there are limitations to the human experience as you get older. And I was just curious if you had a chance to get out there again this week or not, because I know last week you were beat up pretty bad. So, anyway, you know, I tell you, we don't come to the show to talk sports and all of that good stuff, although we occasionally do. You know, but what, I tell you what we really talk about is we talk about the sport of politics, don't we, Ed? That seems to be our game. And here in Louisville.
Unfortunately, enough times in Kentucky, the sport of idiots.
Unfortunately, that's a good way to put it. Last week, we spent some time on a few issues that we really didn't get a chance to get into a lot that we wanted to. This story is actually from late last week. The Louisville Metro Ethics Commission, you know, Dick Payne over at the Ville Voice, you know, I very rarely like to give this guy credit, but when it comes to the Louisville Metro Animal Services, that guy has really done a hell of a job outlining all the problems that they have at LMAS. And under the head of, you know, Sadiqa Reynolds and, of course, Mayor Greg Fisher, two people who shouldn't have any business working on behalf of the public, in my opinion. But the Louisville Metro Ethics Commission had a complaint brought against former spokeswoman Margaret Brosco. Margaret Brosco was all of a sudden promoted to the office of Mayor Greg Fisher. And, oh, by the way, the Ethics Commission dismissed the complaint against Margaret Brosco. Just for a little background, folks, Sadie was a dog who had been euthanized or have a front leg amputated. According to the charges, you know, they had put together a fund that was specifically designed to pay for the surgery for Sadie. And I'm simplifying this as much as I can, folks. No money was spent on behalf of Sadie. Margaret Brosco, according to emails and the Courier Journal, was supposed to be helping this public relations push that was going to get the money to fund the surgery, but no surgery was ever performed. Sadie was kept for months without the surgery. And finally, after this lame leg just finally got to Sadie too much after months and months, Sadie decided to start self-mutilating, which is not unusual for a dog that's in pain or having problems. And, of course, she chewed through her bandages, started chewing through her paws, started chewing through her nails. So after months of raising funds for surgery for Sadie and LMAS literally not doing anything on behalf of this animal, you know, Sadie had to be euthanized for her own at that point. But isn't it interesting the Ethics Commission decided they weren't going to take any action against one of the most corrupt public agencies in Louisville and the LMAS?
Yeah, and, you know, and following Jake and what he's done with it over the years, literally, it becomes mind-blowing. It just keeps on. It's like the, you know, I guess if it's the business you're in, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Is there's always something coming up. There's always, you know, people are so disgusted with it at work there. They're feeding information to people who will put it out there. And today, you know, you look at some of the stuff, trying to think of the one, they were confiscating dogs, you know, that didn't have license, and reselling them, and it just all sorts of unseemly stuff. Yet, yeah, every once in a while somebody will lose a job, but they'll, you know, they'll keep their pay for 6 months or something, and it just keeps going and going and going, and it's like it just makes you wonder when you're going to reach this critical mass where the public and local government and somebody just says, all right, you know, enough of this crap. Let's gut the place and start over.
Well, and it's really interesting, too. I mean, here you're dealing with this. And, of course, you know, Sadie loses her life. This poor defenseless animal loses her life thanks to politics, Margaret Brosco, in my opinion. And Brosco gets promoted and gets to go to work in the office of the mayor, Greg Fisher, for keeping her mouth shut, I would guess. What's really interesting here, too, is the county attorney's office, who would normally handle this kind of a situation, ended up hiring a special, yep, you guessed it, special lawyer, Edmund Karam, related to, I don't know, Anita Karam, David Karam, both Democratic hack political insiders here in Louisville, all the way through the mayor's office. Yeah, ended up
the greatest double dipper of all time.
You betcha. Ended up hiring, the county attorney's office ended up spending our tax money, not doing their job, and hiring Edmund Karam. You know, the Karam family is a known insider to the Democratic mafia here. And, you know, and Karam argued that since Brosco was not a Metro officer, that Brasco was not subject to the ethics law. To me, that was a really interesting argument, because if you are paid on the public dime, you're the spokesman for LMAS, you know, I would think that the ethics laws would apply to you. So maybe we need to look at the ethics laws and broaden the scope of just who is included in ethics charges. I don't know that that's the reason the Ethics Commission dropped this, but it does bring up a point of contention that maybe needs to be addressed by making the ethics laws stronger inside of Louisville, because Lord knows we can use all the help we can get, right?
And, I mean, even if it's not the ethics laws, I mean, at some point, you know, if you're raising money for a cause and you don't do that, and some of the money, at some point, it's got to, you know, you got to look at wire fraud. You've got to look at some kind of fraud. Just the hell with Louisville Metro ethics. Just at some point, you're a party to raising money for, you know, and using federal communications medium like the internet, or using U.S. Postal, perhaps people mailing their checks, and you're using, it's a fraud at some point. It's a theft by deception, and if you're a party to it, I don't give a damn. You know, truthfully, I don't give a damn about Metro ethics. It's like, look, let's just apply the same laws to you and me that they apply to them, and tell them to deal with it.
And that's the problem, though, because I tell you, Ed, I agree with you. I think we should. But the problem is, unfortunately, in many, many cases, and, you know, we have found this out firsthand. I mean, we've taken on Judy Green. We've taken Jim King. We've taken on a lot of other people, LouisvillePolitics.com and the NVM radio show. At the end of the day, you know, our system of government here in Louisville, in my opinion, is about as corrupt as it gets. You're not going to get who I consider to be one of the most corrupt county attorneys I've ever had, Michael Connell, taking any kind of court action in a district or a circuit court against a Democrat insider that has been faithful to the party. I mean, they protect the party at all costs. So sometimes the only avenue left to us as citizens is ethics, because at least with ethics charges, it takes it out of Michael Connell's hands. It takes it out of county attorney's hands. It takes it out of Commonwealth attorney's hands, because as we know with Jim King, for example, when Jim King was found guilty by the KREF, you know, they lied and made it an unknowing violation, even admitting that he knew he was doing was wrong, and then called it an unknowing violation anyway. When it came to going to the Commonwealth attorney, Dave Stengel's office, to pursue legitimate charges, you know, criminal charges, they refused to even let me speak to the grand jury, even though I had that right as a private citizen. And the only reason I tried to exercise that right is because the Commonwealth Attorney's Office back then was Dave Stengel, and Dave Stengel refused to do his job and take evidence to the grand jury and let the legal system work the way it was supposed to, because it was Jim King, who he owes over $500,000, the last I heard, on a farm that he bought, and he's in Jim King's pockets. So, you know, we can't get justice in the traditional courts in this town with the Democratic Mafia. So sometimes ethics are all that's left. You know, I went a long way around that, but that's exactly what we're dealing with. And I agree with your assessment that we need to get into criminal court. But how do we do that?
Well, I hate to say it, but because they're not flawless either, but I guess at some point you got to vote Republican. You know, if nothing else, just for some turnover, not this go around with, granted, who's running for the mayor in the Republican. In the mayor's race for the Republicans, but you know, the network doesn't work unless, you know, you just keep recycling them, and you keep them in there, and it's as simple as a vote. Sometimes, you know, and I know people loyal to one party or the other hate to hear me say it, but sometimes you just got to vote, you know, against a certain party, get their ass out, and just get some fresh blood in that's not totally in debt to either employees, or employees are in debt to them. You just got to cycle through it to where you just bust up the backscratching network.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I mean, that's why, you know, I vote for the person, not the party. Everybody thinks that we're this ultra-conservative, Tea Party, libertarian group of people. Do I believe in the Tea Party principles? Yes. Do I believe in libertarian principles? Yes. Do I believe in conservative principles? Yes. Do I believe in Constitution? Yes. You know, all those things are true. Paint me a conservative. But when it comes to having to make a choice in an election, do your due diligence and realize that a lot of these folks, like the Greg Fischers, the Jim Kings, your Metro Council Democrats, all of these people, you know, are really doing nothing. I'm like you. We have to buck the system on occasion. Greg Fisher is not going to finish his four-year term that he's going to be reelected for in November because he has competition. And I'm going to get chastised for that. Well, Bob DeVore is a Republican running against Greg Fisher. He's competition. He's Republican. Bob DeVore is an idiot, in my opinion. Doesn't have the... I don't think he's got the skill to run a two-man company if it was him and his brother, much less this city. But that's just me. You know, that's my opinion on it. But, you know, we need to move forward a little bit. But I just, you know, we need to do something. And I agree with you, Ed. The best thing to do is just replace who's there, even if you have to go outside the party. But for goodness sakes, folks, know who you're voting for. Here's one you're going to love, Ed. I've got to move to this. There's a couple other things I get to do tonight. We have got to stay close to time tonight. I apologize. But I've got a couple of conference calls that have to be right after the show. It's really interesting. A Democrat Senate candidate, Alice in Wonderland Grimes, as we refer to her here, on Thursday said she would vote against arming and training Syrian forces to combat the Islamic State. Now, what makes it so interesting is this. This amendment, of course, was attached to the federal spending bill that they voted on last week. It was going to allow President Obama to provide aid against ISIS, you know, and things like that. Grimes said that she, in a campaign statement, that she backs military action but could not support the measure until trust between the U.S. and Syrian rebels is clearly established. Now here's Alice in Wonderland Grimes, because here is the contrast. She says that she will not, or she could not support any of this that was brought upon. However, once Barack Obama attached this to a federal spending bill, you know, all of a sudden it was a different story. You know, Grimes' campaign ads told the AP that she was going to oppose the ISIL measure if it were a standalone vote. But since it's attached to the spending bill, she would go ahead and back that amendment anyway. Is this somebody that can actually lead? I mean, she just contradicted herself in her own statement.
It's to me, it's not only that. It's, God, you know, how many people do you know that sit out and watch Washington and just say, you know, could they once, just give us a clean bill, an up or down vote on a clean bill? No. They attach these things to spending bills, to you know, equal pay bills. Everything gets muddled up, and basically what Alice in Wonderland is saying right now is, absolutely, I'll give you anything you want if you bury it in a bill, and, you know, there's all sorts of everything in there from, you know, measuring roach testicle sizes all the way up to, you know, arming ISIS. It's like, let's put all sorts of pork in there and all sorts of weird things, and while we're at it, let's throw it in there that we like puppy dogs and rainbows and oppose clubbing baby seals. And let's just literally. So basically, she's saying what I'm hearing here is, oh, for God's sake, no, never send me a clean bill that's just an up or down vote on a major issue. Let's, you know, make it easy for me and attach it to something, you know, that I can talk about and I can, you know, but. Like old Ron Paul used to say, he'd say, how come you vote no all the time for all these bills? He said, because I read them. You know? Well, that's basically what she's saying. It's like, oh, yeah, elect me, and I will, you know, because I'm the kind of politician you need that just cannot, I can't stand a clean bill. I can't stand a simple up or down vote. So, you know, send me to Washington so I can vote for these 300-page bills that at their core should just say, do we arm Syrian rebels or not? You know, and let's fill it up with so much other stuff. You know, put an equal pay measure in there. So you know you're getting the arm the Syrian rebels, equal pay, and we love puppy dogs. still.
There you go. It's been a long time since you used puppy dog or rainbirds and clubbing baby seals, so thank you. Welcome back. But, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's the Nancy Pelosi defense on Obamacare. We need to pass it before we can see what's in it. And that's exactly what this statement reminds me of. We don't need any more of that. We don't need that in the Senate. Look what it's done to us.
It's cowardice.
You know,
it's total cowardice. A courageous person would sit there and say, "Give me an up or down, but give me an up or down vote on a clean bill, and I'll show you where I stand, and I'm not afraid to show you where I'm standing." So what she's saying is, I'm terrified of letting you know where I stand. So I want nothing but muddied up, 300-page bills coming across my desk that nobody's ever going to read, so that I don't have to take responsibility or own anything.
Exactly, and you know, trying to act like this was a dig against Mitch McConnell. It's just what makes it so hilarious because, quite frankly, Mitch McConnell had already, you know, said that they understand that there were problems with the proposal, but he actually supported it, you know, and he actually said, you know, while I'm concerned about the ability of the coalition to generate sufficient combat power to defeat ISIS within Syria, I support the president's proposal to begin this program. The authorization is of limited duration, and it now contains some important reporting requirements that will allow Congress to assess and oversee this program to measure whether the mission is being accomplished. So, you know, Mitch McConnell had already, you know, went public with this, and she's trying to turn this into a I'm against Mitch McConnell while at the same time saying I would have voted the same way. So she clearly has no clue. It's just funny to me. And then we've got another story concerning her. Now, this may be a small story to a lot of people, but it's really not. According to Kentucky.com, Allison Lundgren Grimes has a small ownership stake in this vacant property they have in Lexington. City officials have repeatedly cited this property for code violations. They threatened legal action against the Grimes for non-payment of more than $20,000 in stormwater fees. You know, you've got all this stuff going on. She disclosed on her Senate financial disclosure forms that she holds stock with Glenn Case LLC, who owns this property, and that stock is valued between $15,000 and $50,000. What's really interesting about this is Grimes' father, Jerry Lundgren, is the one who bought this property. All his daughters have a stake in it, you know. But what's amazing here is Jerry Lundgren, of course, is going out there saying, "Oh no, I've got to cover their butt." You know, Grimes' father called it a drug-infested haven when he bought it. He demolished the hotel that was there, hasn't essentially paid anything on it until now. In June of this year, just 2 months ago, he finally wrote two checks to the city, you know, to try to clear this up because, you know, Alice in Wonderland Grimes is running for Congress, or the Senate. So he decided to go ahead and pay it now after years of fighting with this, just to try to clear it up with her. And, of course, you know, he went on out there and tried to say that, you know, Allison doesn't have any idea what's going on with this because she's not involved in any of Glenn Case's decision to pay these fees and all this other stuff that he just paid. So, basically, he's accusing Kentucky.com of being on a witch hunt against Alice in Wonderland Grimes, his daughter. Alice in Wonderland Grimes and her father both say that she knows nothing about any of this, even though she's a partner on this with her daddy and her sisters, even though she's the partner on this development, and this has been fighting against the state for a long time. Well, here's the thing. She's Secretary of State. All business filings go with the state, so presumably
yeah,
it would be very easy to follow through with this, right? And she knows nothing about this, and her daddy says it's just coincidental that he decided to pay him down. Go ahead.
And I got news for you. I mean, I own some commercial property, and my daughters are a party to it. It's what you do, you know, if you want to pass things on with the lower tax liabilities to your kids, which, you know, it's what we all want to do if we can. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, if you read you – your their names are on it, you know, and that's not that they're – and I'll give her some slack that she may not be intimately involved with it. Mine aren't, but then again, they're 17 and 19, you know, they're kids. But she is you know, she's supposed to be this super educated. You're right, she's Secretary of State, which is – that's probably the most – you know, senator, I could actually see where a senator in Washington would be, you know, a little bit – I could see where that could happen. You know, you're in another state, you're tending to other types of business, but my God, you're the Secretary of State. You're, whether this is an LLC, an S Corp, C Corp, or whatever it is, hey, Allison, you're a party to this. You're collecting the money and filing the paper. Your office is filing the paperwork on it. You know mm-hmm. what's going on. You are the Secretary of State. So, I can cut somebody some slack if they were in Washington and be like, whoops, forgot about that. I was in another state doing another job. But yeah, like you said, good call, good catch, Mr. Ed. She's Secretary of State. She's all about business. If you find her a commercial and stuff, but.
Well, that's just it,
yeah.
too. You know, she's already been caught.
She doesn't know anything about it. It's like, so I'm just thinking, she doesn't know anything about it. Okay, so
she's already been caught.
As to how she's performing as the Secretary of State.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it. I mean, you know, this is the first time she's ever been elected to a job. As Secretary of State, it's already been reported that she didn't even file paperwork on a business that she clearly owned. Didn't bother worrying about it. She's Secretary of State. She shouldn't have to, right? And now, you know, another property that she owns and her family owns, you know, are in all kinds of trouble with code violations and everything else, and that's ignored until she makes the announcement to run as a Senate candidate. Now, all of a sudden, they go ahead and pay this, and then Jerry, her dad, is out there, you know, and, of course, he's been found guilty of some serious behavior. So this is nothing but more of the same Democratic mafia deal. And I tell you, it's very, very disturbing what's really going on here. Our good friend Paul is posting in the chat room now. Okay, he's posting some Newsmax information concerning ISIS. When we're actually going to get to a little bit of that after the break, but it's interesting that's going on. And I tell you, let's go to break now because we talk about the nanny state all the time here, and we've got a very serious situation up in Washington that's going on. I think you guys are going to be very concerned about when you realize how deep the nanny state has actually gotten. And we're going to talk about an investigative report out of Cincinnati that's going to tell us just how much money is wasted on Michelle Obama's food lunch program. So stick around. You really don't want to miss those. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springs of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
guys listening to the show. Don't forget the call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you folks in the listening queue, don't forget to hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. Ed, it's just comical to me what in the world people are allowing to happen to what is supposed to be the freest nation on earth, which we know we're not. Great story coming out of BenSwan.com. Burien, Washington, it's a Seattle suburb. Well, it's about 15 miles suburb, about 15 miles out of Seattle, has decided to pass a law against citizens with unpleasant body odor. It's a trespassing law against people who they consider smell bad if they're on publicly owned property and property generally open to the public. We now have a law against body odor. Those found in violation of the ordinance are going to be issued a trespass warning and banned from all of the city's public facilities for 7 days. If you're a repeat offender, you can be arrested for trespassing and banned for city property for up to 1 year for doing nothing more than smelling like someone could take offense to. So, I mean, if you're a smoker and you smell like tobacco, guess what? You can now be arrested and banned from city property for up to a year. If you're a jogger who happens to be running through the area and you're sweating and you got a little sweat smell on you because you just got through with your run and haven't been to your shower yet because you haven't made it home, you can now be banned from publicly owned property for up to a year. What about the women who put on so much perfume? And sorry, ladies, some of you women put a bottle on at a time, seemingly. If I find that offensive, can they be arrested for trespassing and banned from being in the public for a year? Or even men, the same thing with some of the cologne they wear. Ed, this has got to be one of the most serious overreaches of the nanny state I can think of. Comments, please.
Well, I actually, these kind of things, they're so stupid that I'm glad they pass laws like this. You know, because it can be held up as an example in the, as a you've got to be kidding me example. So now, if you're, the real dilemma I think it will ultimately, cause won't be for conservatives per se. Whether you want to consider them rich or stuff, a lot of conservatives probably don't smell too bad. I'm thinking homeless people, certain immigrant populations that are poor, different ethnicities. I mean, my gosh, if there's some foods you don't like, some foods are very, very strong in their odor, and it's just like anything, you eat a bunch of asparagus.
I think the thing is it almost
has an elitist sound to it. It's like, so what I'm hearing is if you're poor or something like that, this is going to come after them. So it's like, hey, liberals, have at it. If you want to go full nanny state, guess what? The people who tend to smell bad are the homeless and the poor.
And the poor are the ones who vote for the liberals. It's incredible to me.
So these, these liberals want to get out there. These nanny stayers want to get out. We want to, socialize health care or let's tax the rich and do this for the, whatever. Pass out, help the poor. It's like, oh, great. So
well,
I guess
it.
You want to take the money. You want to take one group's money and you want to spend it the way you want to spend it on the poor. But what I'm hearing now is you're pretty much saying, we want to help the poor, but we don't want them around us. They smell bad.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, this thing is worded where, the ordinance categorizes bodily hygiene or scent that is unreasonably offensive to others. So that clearly opens the door to every smell in the world. And behavior that is unreasonably inconsistent with the normal use for which the publicly owned property was designed and intended to be used. Examples are bathing, shaving, washing clothes, skateboarding, or anything considered unreasonably disruptive to other users. So they lumped all this together in what they banned: unsafe, dangerous, and illegal behavior in places like parks, libraries, government buildings, things like that. You can almost I almost have to agree with the skateboarding to some degree, because there's a lot of kids out there, and really young adults at this point, that will go and they'll take their skateboard, into a public park, or try to go down the railing on steps and stuff. They see all this cool stuff on YouTube. You know, could that be a safety hazard to somebody? You bet you, if you're walking by with a child at the bottom of those steps when they do that stuff, and they could land on them.
That involves a certain amount of inertia and stuff to where, run over
somebody. Bodily hygiene? I mean, this whole bodily hygiene, the unreasonably offensive to others with the scent and all that crap, that is clearly designed to keep homeless people and poor people out of public areas. So let's hide our homeless, let's hide our poor, so that we don't have to deal with that problem, out of sight, out of mind. That's clearly what it looks like to me. And I can't believe, and at least I haven't read anything yet, where the ACLU or anybody else is standing up, rising a stink, pardon the pun, against this. I haven't seen any outrage from them. I mean, this clearly you would think couldn't stand up in law. And then there's the other effect of this. What if you're one of those people because, somebody said, I just don't like the smell of you, so the cop comes and arrests you, because they don't like the smell of you. Now we've got another big problem. People are being told to get in other people's business once again and create conflict and division in our society. But, what happens when you get arrested? I mean, we know I was illegally arrested 2 years ago, and it screwed everything up for my life for a year and a half. It kept me out of being employed. It kept all kinds of things because I had this open court case, and I was looking at, a charge that could potentially, wasn't going to happen, but could potentially, put me in jail. So what employer wants to take a chance on you? So if you can't pass a background check now because you've got an open court case because you're charged an illegal violation, most employers aren't going to hire you. So now you've just hurt that person even further because somebody decided they had a pet peeve against you and made up a false charge. We see that all the time, and they've just made it easier. What say you?
Well, I, like they always say, smeller's the feller. I mean, it's sort of... aside from body odor and everything else, kind of puts cracking off some wind in a whole new light too. Somebody, you eat Taco Bell the day before,
you might
want to rethink going to the library or something like that because if you crack one off, of course, then again, if you do, you can just do it like you were in grade school and go, look at the guy next to you and go, oh, man, really? Damn.
Yeah. That brings up a good point. Go get a couple of bowls of chili, Eat a couple of bowls of beanie chili, man, and go in a public area where there's a lot of people around and just start letting loose. Who are they going to arrest?
And look at everybody else and go, man, what's wrong with you? And then the cops come, and that person gets cited.
Yeah, there you go. Here's another conversation that's gone to shit. But, pardon that, but, and our good friend Paul's in the chat room.
It was kind of a stink bomb of a subject anyway, right?
There you go, yeah. Paul's in the chat room. Ain't no jail big enough to keep you confined. Well, I found out there was one that would keep me confined for a while, my friend. Trust me. So all of this nanny state stuff is just ridiculous. And then, of course, now we've got other nanny state stuff coming on. I want to point this story out real quick, and then I'm going to tell you why in just a second. But according to Breitbart, an investigative report by Cincinnati TV station, they did a comprehensive investigative report checking out the government's new school lunch requirements that Michelle Obama and the Obama administration itself have been pushing onto all of our school districts. The National School Lunch Program feeds upwards to about 31 million American students a day. They spend about $12 billion a year. But what they have found out with their report is that thanks to these school lunch requirements, we are now throwing away $4 million a day and discarded food that these kids just flat out won't eat. They're throwing away the vegetables, fruits, and snacks that are forced on them because of these new federal standards. This is according to a Harvard study of the program. 60% of fresh vegetables, 40% of fresh fruit are being thrown away. You know, according to the National School Nutrition Assistance, 81.2% of schools surveyed indicated that an increase in the amount of food that they're throwing away has been dramatic since these new nutrition standards went into effect 2 years ago. You know, here we've got 600 school districts who have already dropped out of Michelle Obama's forced federal lunch program. You know, we have one right here in Kentucky, Fort Thomas Independent Schools in Northern Kentucky. So what do we say here, Ed? Isn't it time to get government out of our damn lives? I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. I mean, I remember, okay, look, I grew up on liverwurst, Braunschweiger, and peanut butter and jelly, and, you know, sometimes fried bologna sandwiches. Go to school and would, you know, whatever it was, a nickel thing or dime a container, I would get, you know, three or four of those chocolate milks. Everybody's worried, obesity and stuff. Look, the problem with kids is obesity and all this. It's inactivity. There were fat kids when I was in school. But, my God, it's like I sit back and I see, these plates. I'll be honest. The food, I've seen pictures of it. It looks creepy, you know, the colors of the vegetables and stuff. It's like, man, are you eating crayons? You know, I'm not sure.
It's awful.
You know, it's like, look. Let's do it efficiently, and let's give the kids something they'll eat. You know, it's just, yes, protein's important, vitamins are important. You know what? Give them a vitamin fortified drink and call it a day. You know, Tang back in our day. It's nasty. But, I just sit here and listen to this nanny state crap, and it's just like, my God, everybody's trying to find that magic switch. You know, it's like, if we just force the kids, if we just put all this fruit and veggies in front of them, they'll eat it, and juvenile diabetes will go, you know, and obesity will go away, and
well, that's it.
And learning disabilities. Wow, this will cure learning disabilities and everything. It's like, no, I drink, you know, give them something, give them enough energy to stay awake during the day. And like I say, if you're worried about their vitamin or mineral intake, give them a good tasting vitamin fortified drink. It's, you know, you can buy this crap in the store any day you want. Vitamin water. Give them a vitamin water to go with their bologna sandwich. If they eat it and drink it, you're money ahead. But
it gets even worse.
Breast milkies and all this. Like, dude, guess what? And here's another thing, because I have a little garden at my house. There is no such thing as fresh veggies in the wintertime, okay? So let's, you know, okay, you're giving them deep frozen veggies. So get off your high horse. Feed the kids something they'll actually eat, you know, without actually putting Hershey bars on their plate, because, you know, they'll eat that.
The thing is, they always had a good selection.
Give them what they need. Like I say, if there's deficiencies, give them the vitamin. You know, kids will drink vitamin water and Gatorade all day long. It's kind of tricking them into it. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's devastating. I mean, it really is. It's devastating thinking about how many kids are out there starving to death every day, and they're trying to force these standards on everybody that do not work. According to Fort Thomas School Superintendent Gene Kirchner, he flat out says it's just not very effective. According to him, he says, I have to think that across the country, there has to be a staggering amount of food going to waste, and I think there are people out there who could really use that food. And it's actually true, and it gets worse. In California, we just recently had a story come out late last week. In California, two middle school students were in the lunchroom at lunch. One of the students didn't have any food. The other student got the school-approved federal, you know, program lunch that he was told to eat, and he wasn't going to eat it all. He was going to throw it away, so he decided to share that lunch with the student who didn't have anything to eat. And because he gave that student half of his food that he was going to throw away anyway, he was put into detention because he could have hurt the other child because he might not have known about any allergies that child had. So you try to share this federally approved nutrition, and you get, as a child, detention or suspension or worse eventually. How do we justify that?
We don't. I mean, you know, it's operating under the assumption that if this kid gives another kid food, and granted, the kid giving the food away doesn't know the other kid has a food allergy. But the kid who's taking the food knows it, So just because he gives it to you doesn't mean you have to eat it. You know what you're supposed to eat and not. If you got a peanut allergy, you know what you can eat and you know what you can't, because people with food allergies are they have a very heightened awareness to this kind of stuff. If I were that kid's parents, I would look at him and say, you know what, do it again. Screw these bastards.
Well, that's it. And of course,
you
Michelle can't.
You keep going to detention if you have to. You keep giving that kid your food. We're going to make fools out of these people. And, I mean, that is the height of foolishness. You know, we always hear about, and once again, it's just this contradiction that the liberals live. On one hand, total nanny state. On the other hand, the liberals want to take ownership of caring about the poor, caring about the hungry, caring about the students. You know, that the children who go hungry, if it weren't for school lunches, and here you got a kid making a very human connection and not wasting food, and the liberal nanny state, which again claims ownership of the compassion for the hungry and the poor, just totally blows it up on this kid who's actually walking the walk, Screw them.
I totally agree. But so this kid has a negative repression for doing a positive thing in society. What's he going to do next time? And of course, Michelle Obama, the First Lady, is lashing out at anybody who is a critic of her program, saying that anyone who criticizes her program is playing politics with our children's future. Nobody's playing politics with our children's future except the Obamas themselves. It's very disturbing. And here's something else when you talk about nanny state that should be disturbing as well. Coming soon to a United States city near you, there's a nice story out of Stourbridge, England. Yes, folks, across the shore. A school system there is implementing a biometric system to better track what students are eating each day. What this system does, it requires pupils to press a finger against a machine, which converts the print into biometric data. Then they can identify each individual student's account and what they're eating. They say that their aim is to have a cashless system throughout the school. It's a better system for parents because kids don't have to carry a lunch money. It reduces waiting times for lunch. But more importantly, we'll be able to monitor what children are buying to make sure they are eating a healthy diet. Ed, what in the hell is going on?
I'm willing to make a side bet that half the adults who are doing this monitoring are overweight and have bad teeth, and some of them probably have alcohol addiction. So, yeah, they're in a perfect position to tell the kids how to eat. Where do you go with this? It's like, so what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, your child's not eating enough fiber or something. It's like, hey, my kid doesn't have any trouble pooping, get off his case. But I don't know where to go with it, Ed. I mean, my kids, they would eat the school lunch. Granted, they have an account loaded, but it doesn't track what they eat. It might, but I don't care. They're happy and energetic and learning well and healthy. I'm okay. I guess they're eating well enough. But my kids brown bag it a lot, because there's no.
Well, you can't even do that anymore.
Like your dad, man. It's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Triscuits and grapes if they want them. Whatever. It's just. Now, once again, and that's the other thing, we think about the nanny state and these kids eating at school. It's like, all right, well, first question, what the hell happened to the brown bag lunch?
The brown bag lunch is forever gone. The school systems don't even allow it because they're so worried about it. I mean, we've had reports of students trying to trade a peanut butter sandwich school for something else, and they were already in trouble because they might have a peanut allergy. I mean, we have become such a nanny state that we have no responsibility for anything. Big Brother knows better than we do. And even with this biometric fingerprint crap they're trying over in England, we've already tried that here in America. We have had some American schools already attempted to try this using palm scanners. But parents got angry and they have some technological problems, so they haven't been able to get it implemented yet. But, you look at this, you look at this and say, hey, isn't this taking us more along the line to the bigger picture? Does anybody really honestly believe that a thumbprint or a palm scanner for your daily lunch at school is the end game to make sure that you're eating healthy? Hell no. It's designed to bring up a whole generation of robots that you're used to being identified. The government can track you anywhere you go. I firmly believe that. Conspiracy theory me all you want to. But this is a lot bigger.
I wouldn't doubt that. As you mentioned, I have to agree with you. I think in one hand, it's like, yeah, definitely it conditions kids to be in scanned and it dehumanizes them too. I mean, you know, you probably knew the lunch ladies when you were in school, and I mean, I knew them all the way from grade school all the way up to college. You know,
sure.
You get on with and you interact with people, and now it's just they're that's the other thing is they're taking this human interaction, you know, the lunch lady interaction, or the, you know, the sweet old lady who's taking your money interaction, or whatever. They're taking the human interaction out of it, and that's. Man, that sucks that sucks royally too, because
that's it.
You can't learn how to play the game that way. I sure did when I was in college. I knew how to get extra hoagies and stuff.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, that's exactly it. And I mean, you know, even last year they had a group of York engineers that had announced they'd developed something called a biometric classroom. These are New York engineers, folks. According to these developers at CenterStar Labs, they developed cameras that can track students' eye movements, conversations, and even their smiles. They're going to supposedly help teach and improve classroom learning. All I can say to that is bullshit. Bullshit. Because I tell you, these teachers don't care about classroom learning anymore. Well, maybe the teachers do, but the school systems don't, so their hands are tied anyway. But the reality is that, you know, we have all kinds of data. We've even got a couple YouTube videos that are going crazy right now with this one student griping at his teacher because she refused to teach them anything. Every day they show up to class, they're handed a packet, and they just have to go through this packet while the teacher sits at the desk playing tiddlywinks or whatever the hell she wants to do without teaching these students anything. So, you know, this is nothing more than to get us used to being monitored, and we start with our kids. We don't do anything for the kids. We do everything to our kids to set up the society that these socialist, liberal, fascist Democrats want. And there's only one way to describe that. That's who they are. Liberalism has failed, and this is where we're heading to. And, you know, I would be ill if I did not – I have to get to this story. And I've got to move on to this next story because this is the day of the week I get with you. We'll get into this more on Wednesday night, and I'm sure Dale will probably talk about it tomorrow night on his TNT Tuesday Night Truth Show. But we know that Scotland voted last week to determine whether they were going to secede from the UK or not. We know that that vote was 55% to 45%. We know that there are major voting irregularities that went on there. We've got plenty of that on video. So whether that vote is accurate or not, who knows? But what is interesting here in America, because a lot of us in America were paying attention to this, and there has been a lot of talking about their state seceding from the U.S. government. And when we look at this, according to this poll, and this poll was brought to us at roots.com, according to a poll, there was 23.9% of Americans that were polled said strongly supported or tended to support the idea of their state breaking away. You know, so I think that's pretty incredible. One in four here in America think their state would be better off if they were to break away and go on their own. And when you think about it, I mean, let's look at Texas. Texas has openly talked about seceding from the union. And, hell, they got all the oil and all the jobs. Why not?
Well, I think the occasional state like Texas could. I think most states probably could not, and it would be a bad idea. But I think rather than, you know, the talk of secession is okay in my mind, as it expresses a certain displeasure with the federal government. I guess it's something to say. I'm a bit of a federalist. I can see a purpose in a federal government, you know, within its constitutional limits. But I think it's not a solution. Secession is not a solution, but it is the desire for secession is a symptom. And I think the feds would, you know, the people in the federal government and the federal agencies would do well to to heed that and think, gosh, you know, wow. it's like if you're an employer and somebody's willing to just quit because you're such a prick, you know.
Well,
and that job lined up, and they're willing to walk away from the benefits that the job does provide. At that point, you've got to evaluate where you're at and think, okay, you know, maybe there's something I need to change if 20, 30, 40% of the employees working here are open to the idea of just walking out, you know, and not coming back. It's, you know, you got to look at something. So I think it's good that it starts a dialogue, but the big picture, you know, especially like here in Kentucky, you know, you look at the federal dollars that come in, you look at our interdependence, and you look at the utter incompetence of our own state government, and it's like, okay, so let's say you removed the federal government from the equation, and now we were totally the subject of our state government. Would we really be better off?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that you say that. I mean, there's a couple of things. Our good friend Paul Overstoppin just pointed this out in the chat room. You know, Scotland did get major concessions from Britain. It's the only reason that they went ahead and voted to stay with the UK is because Britain gave them all these concessions. And I guess what it really boils down to, what I see in that whole Scotland secession movement was almost half the people were so disgusted by our version of the federal government, the British government, that they felt like they had to do something drastic to get heard, and they were heard. Britain had to give them some major concessions, and we don't have time to get into those tonight. We'll talk about them on Wednesday. But those concessions let Scotland know that, hey, you know, we can take back our government. We can do our thing, and we can force it. So when I look at this here in America, and you're talking about that really it's just people are discussing with the federal government, I think I agree with that. I don't think that any state in the union truthfully wants to succeed from the federal government, but they want the federal government to be accountable. They want the federal government to be stable. They want the federal government to get the hell out of our lives, let us live freely, let the states have the power and control as they should. You know, they're just totally disgusted about a two-party system, if you will. So, you know, it's very, very interesting to me. I hate to do this. I mean, I would really love to take this show in overdrive tonight. Unfortunately, I can't. I've got some time constraints. Ed, final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts. You know, I've been out for – I missed last week, so sorry about that. But, you know, final thoughts. We've covered a lot of subjects, and one thing just sticks in my craw that we haven't covered, and I have to admit I'm a little disappointed that we haven't covered it and we haven't had to cover it, is that our city councilman, Dan Johnson, hasn't totally stepped in it in about 10 days. So I'm thinking, damn, I was actually thinking that earlier. It's like, man – Did the Democrat caucus, Jim King and everybody, did they put the squelch on this guy? It's like, come on, guys. So final thoughts of the day is like, hey, local Democrats, let Dan Johnson off, give him a little room on his leash because we really, really enjoy talking about him, but we need him to be out there running his mouth in order to be able to do that. So I'm kind of hoping that they let him out of his cage a little bit so he can do something else stupid for us.
Well, there you have it, man. I will try to sell something for Dan Johnson for you next Monday. Of course, you'll probably already have it. We'll find out. I tell you, for me, it's just the same old thing. Everybody about any true conservatives talking about liberalism. And unfortunately, we wouldn't have to talk about it. You know, this is not about the two-party system. Republicans are better than Democrats or vice versa because the two-party system is the uniparty system. I think that they found that out in Scotland, and I think that we know that here. That's why so many people are unhappy with the quality candidates that we're forced to choose from, especially when you look at Wonderland Grimes, who probably can't tie her shoelaces without somebody explaining it to her on a daily basis and across the laces to get them to tie. We've got so many people out there who credible or worthy that could run for office if it wasn't for a stranglehold of the two-party system that continues thwarting any meaningful change in this country that would benefit all of us. Instead, we have to sit here and listen to the liberals and the socialists, and I tell you, everybody knows I'm not a big Rush Limbaugh fan. However, many things Rush Limbaugh talks about, it isn't so much that what he says isn't true, it's his delivery that I take offense at. But you look at Bo Snerdly, Rush Limbaugh's, he's the one that he always calls Snoopy, his show. Here's an African-American gentleman. I put a post on my Facebook page at Ed Springsteen. with about a 30-minute interview with him. And I think you're going to find it fascinating. He gets liberalism. He knows that liberalism is destroying this country. He knows that it's destroying the poorest among us, and it's destroying the minority community as well. You know, when are we in America going to wake up and understand that there is so much more than we have allowed ourselves to gain in this country? Freedom isn't free. It's time to stand up and fight, folks. Tomorrow night, Dale will be here with his Tuesday night truth show. I will return on Wednesday night. We're going to get into a little bit more of the Scotland situation on Wednesday. And, you know, maybe a few more surprises for you. Stick around and you'll see then. In the meantime, folks, have a great night. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.